This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hello, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those who don't know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So I record these a little under a week before we publish, and the big thing that happened this week is that David Bowie died. It saddened a lot of us on social media. It was pretty much the only thing anybody talked about on Monday in my feeds. And so, you know, this week we're going to see a lot of what David Bowie can teach us, posts and podcasts. I suspect because he tried so many different approaches and angles that he had many, many opportunities to influence people, to become beloved by so many people. So there's a lesson there, but that's not precisely what I'm going to talk about today. I'm not going to do a What Bowie Can Teach Us podcast today, but his life, his work did spark some thoughts for me. So instead of, you know, walking through 10 lessons from David Bowie, I'm going to go off on my own. I'm going to talk about something that maybe I didn't see covered 10 million times, which is the value of continuing to show up, continuing to stay engaged and creative for the long haul. So I think you're probably familiar with the phenomenon that what looks like overnight success almost always has its roots in long-time preparation, often many years of preparation. So you might be in the middle of that preparation time. You might be, you know, paving the way for your overnight success right now. And what I know from my own experience, what I know from other people's experience, is that this is a really hard time on the psyche. You're working really hard. Your family or your significant other might be wondering why it is you're spending all this time on this thing, you know, whether it's your podcast or your website or your business or your book, whatever it might be. First, one of the most valuable things you can do during this time, the preparation time, is to surround yourself with support and encouragement. Now, it's wonderful to have a supportive family, and it's great if you happen to have a supportive significant other partner in your life, but it's not fair to ask your family and friends to do all the lifting here. You really want to find other people who do what you do, whether it's writing or recording, or making music, making a business. You want to create those supportive friendships, and then you want to keep working on them and creating new friendships because you're going to need it. You really are. Nobody can give you a guarantee, so I can't give you some kind of a warranty that's going to guarantee you're going to get the results that you're thinking of from this time of your life, this time of preparation, and getting really, really good at what you do, putting the work in. But I am handing out one of my pink permission slips to continue to make yourself better, because something awesome is going to come out of it, and I don't know what it is, and you don't either. So I'm going to talk about a couple of examples. So I have a friend. She's very lovely. She's very smart. Her name is Victoria Labalme. Now, V studied with Marcel Marceau, you know, the famous mime. She worked incredibly hard during her work with him. So does she make a living right now as a mime? No, she does not make a living as a mime. Nobody makes a living as a mime, right? It's maybe kind of ironic, but V makes a living, a great living, as an elite speaking coach. And part of that is that the visual expression she puts into talks, into presentations, into the way she teaches, and into what she teaches other people to do, that way that she can communicate beyond what's just going on with her voice is really remarkable. So when she was working with Marcel Marceau, she had no idea she was going to go on to become a speaking coach. She didn't know where that work was going to go, but she knew that it had value. And it's been part of what has added up to become an amazing life. Another friend of mine and another very influential person in my life was a gentleman named Josh Kaufman. And Josh wrote a book called The Personal MBA. The Personal MBA was about, and I found it, in fact, thinking about getting an MBA, an advanced degree in business. And I stumbled across Josh. I think Seth Godin probably pointed me to Josh. And his focus with that book was, instead of letting somebody else decide what you're going to learn about business, educate yourself, really put that same focus, time, and attention in, you'll save an unbelievable amount of money, and it'll be a self-directed experience that will have its own value. And I was talking with Josh about writing books, and one of the things he said that strikes me is that that process of writing a book is valuable because it's hard. You know, that what you get out of it, part of what you get out of it is attention and authority and all these pragmatic things, but part of it is what you get out of it because you have done something not everybody can do. Now, both Victoria and Josh are people you should know more about, and I'm going to try and entice both of them to come onto the podcast and, you know, talk with me about what they're doing. I've learned a lot from them, from their experience, from their example. Victoria is actually doing a speaking workshop in Los Angeles in late February that I am going to be going to. Now, if you are a speaker or you give talks and you want to get much better at it, I think there might still be room in that presentation, in that workshop. Plus, that would be fun. You and I could hang out. If you want to go see if there's any space left, it's rocktheroomlive.com. This is, you know, very much, it's a professional workshop. It is not an inexpensive workshop, but if that's something you wanted to be working on in 2016, it would be neat if you if I saw you there. So when I talk about this, you know, creativity and putting, you know, doing something worthwhile, doing something big, part of it is really about finding balance. So on the one hand, you put that work in because it's hard, because you want to get just tremendously good, because it matters to be good. And actually, just frankly, because it's really fun and satisfying. It's a satisfying thing to do with your life, to really master something instead of staying on the surface the way that most people do. But then there's this other hand, the other side of the balance, which is staying open and staying sensitive to the potential for doing that thing in a new way, in a different way. So this is experimentation and exploration and reinvention. And this is about play. So we're finding the balance between work and play. And if we do go back to Bowie, you know, what he was known for more than anything else was reinvention. But paired with that reinvention was really just working his ass off toward mastery. So when you reinvent yourself, you know, you don't want to be some kind of train wreck attention stunt, which is where a lot of celebrities these days settle. So what do I mean by that? Well, asking the question, what is Kim Kardashian really masterful at? And I have no idea. So if she is, in fact, working behind the scenes to pay her dues, if she is working to master something at an elite level, I have no idea what that might be other than, you know, self-promotion. And I have no idea, right? It might be fair, it might not be fair. From what she puts out, from what she puts into the public, she's today's poster child for being famous for being famous. And that contrasts fairly sharply with her husband, who, at least in his public persona, is kind of a tool a lot of the time, but Kanye West is a masterful musician. He has put the work in to create really transformative art. You know, his level of craft, his level of inventiveness are genuinely at an elite level. Now, you may like his music, you may not like his music, you may be aware of it, you may not be aware of it, but you really can't dismiss it. He's important. He matters at what he does. So I don't know either of these people. I happen to suspect that they're probably both very smart. She gets put down a lot for not being smart. I think that's probably not true, but I don't know them. I'm not praising them. I'm not putting them down. I'm observing from the outside and specifically thinking about the legacies that I think that they're likely to leave. So since they happen to be very, very famous and they happen to be married, it invites that comparison. And I think the comparison of legacy comes down to one, really mastering his art, mastering his craft, putting an incredible amount of work and deliberate work, deliberate practice in to get better. And the other who seems not to be doing that. Now, this is also not about being nice or about being likable, because if it's about being likable, then it's hard to really talk about Kanye West. I happen to think that being nice is underrated. I recommend it. Emotional intelligence is a very useful thing to develop. It comes in handy, plus it makes you a better person. But this isn't that. This is about being both deeply dedicated and deeply playful. It's about being a pro and being an artist. And they're not mutually exclusive in any way. In fact, quite the opposite. But sometimes I think our culture makes it feel that way. I'd also like to talk about stubbornness. So if we go back to Bowie, you know, there are a lot of things I admire about him. There are a lot of things many of us admire about him. For me, it might be the stubbornness that I actually respect the most. So David Bowie kept showing up and he kept reinventing himself. And he kept working on that knife edge of balance between mastery and play. He kept things uncomfortable for himself. I think most popular musicians would have stopped at Ziggy Stardust. You know, they would have created a lot of popularity, a lot of money, a lot of recognition for this persona, for this particular musical style. And if he had stopped there, he would still have fans. He would have enduring fans. He made a real impact. But it would be a somewhat shallow success. You know, it would be a moment in time. It would be a sliver of rock and roll history. And a lot of folks have observed some of Bowie's creative experiments were not particularly successful. They weren't as successful commercially, or they weren't critically particularly successful. That didn't really seem to matter. You know, he just kept working. So many of you have seen some very beautiful photos taken of Bowie, apparently just a few days before his death, by the photographer Jimmy King, who is Bowie's longtime photographer. And they don't look like a man who has given up. They don't look like someone who's resigned to something. They certainly don't look like a man who can count the hours before his death. He looks like he's having fun. So if I'm going to, you know, come to some advice portion of this somewhat rambling podcast, this is what I would say. This is, you know, what I want to focus on for this year, and I think it would have some value for you to focus on for this year. Stay stubborn. You know, keep showing up. Keep showing up. Don't let yourself get discouraged. And in service of that, get that support. Get the encouragement. Make friends who do the thing you do. And connect with them and support each other when times are hard and congratulate each other when times are great. But get stubborn and do something just to get great. Get great at something. And I truly don't know if it matters a lot what it is. As long as it turns you on, I think you should do it. So it might be something that might not have a tremendous amount of commercial potential. On the other hand, you could end up like my friend Victoria, who put all of this passion into studying mime, and that ended up playing a role in something that was wildly commercially successful. But do something, get great at something just because it turns you on. And remember to play as deeply as you work. You know, a life that's just defined by work and that's kind of grim and nose to the grindstone, some people choose that, and it seems to bring them some satisfaction. I want to keep having fun. You know, I want to be photographed in my last days, still having a blast, still having a good time. That's what I wish for you. That's what I wish for myself. Keep showing up, keep working on something that challenges you, and then keep having fun right up until those final moments. That is a life well lived. It's my aspiration, and I hope that both you and I can live up to it. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Take care, go forth, do something epic. Whether or not you have today off, if you're in the U.S., you may have it off. Celebrate your life and go do something really cool and wonderful. Thank you so much, guys. Take care and see you soon.